Light the candle, tiger!
Hi there, a warm welcome to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Steve Palmer and Star Sports Glenn Day looking back at last weekend when both tournaments were won by the market leaders. And we are looking ahead to just one main event this week. It's nothing in Europe. We've got the Wimbledon Championship in North Carolina. And we'll also have a quick look at the British Women's Open. First of all, though, last weekend, so Brooks Koepka won the WGC event. And Colin Morikawa, a player that the lads have been giving the big up to all year, but didn't tip, won the, what was the other event called? The Barracuda Championship. So, Glenn, both very prominent in the market. Not a good weekend for the layers?
No, as I said, both were actually fairly friendly. So Morikawa, very short in the betting, for his current stature in the game, really. As we said, he was always sure to win. It was just a matter of how soon. And Koepka, just, yeah, no one wanted to know for the second week on the bounce. So an event, a weekend that could have been disastrous, actually wasn't too bad.
Blimey, no one wanted to know, Steve. You put him up and no one wanted to know what's going on.
Well, yeah, he wasn't the favourite, was he? Dustin Johnson, because he'd won there twice, was the favourite. And then Rory McIlroy, lots of people fancied Rory to bounce back from open heartache. So, yeah, he was third in the list. And, I thought he should have been favourite. And, it was nice to finally stop the drought. And, it's the best player to be on. When Brooks Koepka hits the front, you do feel so relaxed and confident that he's going to get the job done. I mean, he's just made of granite, isn't he?
He had a few sort of 8 and 10 footers, didn't he, that anyone else should have been slightly concerned about, but they were just fine in the middle of the cup, weren't they? Now, Steve, we're trying to get you to learn to live with adversity and triumph in equal sort of response. But obviously it has been a bit of a difficult time for you. So it must have been a nice big relief to get the monkey off your back and get a winner there, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. It was nice to end with a 1-2, you know, because we had Webb Simpson as well. So we had the 11-1 winner and the 35-1 second. So to end the drought in such emphatic fashion was good. And it was nice to have that feeling, as I say, of relaxation, because not only did you have Koepka, you just trust him when in contention. He didn't have a bogey on his card, didn't drop a shot on Sunday. And then obviously Webb Simpson making the Sunday charge. A nice little buffer with him. So from the third hole onwards, I was feeling pretty confident because Rory missed a short birdie putt on the third hole. I think the third hole was absolutely pivotal. Koepka holed from outside McIlroy. Then McIlroy missed his birdie putt and they were level. And I think that was a huge psychological blow for McIlroy. And it was just such a difficult task for Rory after all the open drama. To face down the best player in the world in a Sunday duel, it was just too much for him.
Well, it looked like it was always going to be one of you two tipping the winner, because you put up Rory, didn't you, Glenn, having come up with some really good stats on last week's podcast about his bounce back ability. So he did come back, and it was obviously a great week, and it's exactly what he would have wanted after the traumas of Port Rush. But that final round, do you still think there's frailties in his Sunday performances, Glenn?
Oh, definitely without a shadow of a doubt. I was just going to say that. Again, it looks pretty, another low number in his formal figures. But how many times does he go head-to-head in a final round, whoever it's with, and disappoint, ultimately? Losing to a guy who's ultimately probably the number one player in the world at the moment is no disgrace. But he went out tamely, I thought, really. And, frailties indeed, Bruce, yeah.
And over in the other tournament, Barracuda, you put up a fantastic three-figure tip, something Danielson, and there was late heartache for you there as well, wasn't there, Glenn?
Yeah, a few little each-way doubles, obviously a little bit going on from Rory in the World Golf Championship event. It made a bit of a charge on the last day. I mean, I was on late on Sunday night. I left work looking like he wasn't going to quite get there. Pleased to turn the computer on when I got indoors. He got an eagle birdie to pick up 7 points, but disappointingly, 2 bogeys and a bogey on the par 5 last, which saw him in a 4-way tie for 7th. So, my bank balance would have been a lot healthier had he not bogeyed the last.
Oh, well.
But showed he's got a bit of talent, the young man, obviously, so might be one to watch out for.
Anyone to take out last week, Steve?
Well, I thought Jordan Spieth was impressive over the weekend. It was a 6-under par weekend. He made 8 birdies on Sunday. 2 triple bogeys in round 1, 2 double bogeys in round 4, and he finished 12th. So he made 22 birdies last week, which was more than anyone. Putting superbly again. So if he can cut out those scorecard busters, then I think the victory could be coming soon. Could be coming this week, actually.
Okay. And anyone for you, Glenn, that you thought, oh, he needs to go on my golf tracker?
Well, Matthew Wolfhard will play well. He had a really good weekend. He's only one shot worse than McIlroy, which is no mean feat. His first World Golf Championship event. Obviously, he's already a winner this year. But, you know, the young man showing that he can compete with the big boys. And Patrick Reed, who I'll just touch on there because I'm going to pick him up later, showed that he's returning to form, sorting out his swing problems and another one ready for a prominent showing somewhere along the line.
Okie doke. So Steve's had a winner. Let's see if he can follow up and make it 2 from 2 in the Wimbledon. And we'll also find out who Glenn fancies. But first of all, Glenn, how do Star Sports bet on the Wyndham Championship?
Are 50 odds the first 6 places this week. 9-1 Webb Simpson, 14-1 Hideki Matsuyama, 16-1 Jordan Spieth, 18-1 Colin Morikawa, 22-1 Patrick Reed and Paul Casey, 25-1 Brent Snedeker, 28-1 Billy Horschel and Victor Hovland, 30-1 Cameron Smith, and 40-1 Ches Reavy and Lucas Glover.
And what's the tournament rating?
Tour rating this week is a 6.
A 6? I thought you might. I would have gone for 7. Yeah, there's not too many big guns there, is there?
No, I will say it was literally just the other side of a 7. So, but got to go with it. So, yeah, one of those on the margin.
Do you do that just because you're a bit of a sort of nerd, or do you actually use that tournament rating, you know, to create future prices?
A bit of both, I'll admit, but just as a habit I got into as well. I used to do it almost just guessing, looking at the field and oh yeah, I'll give it that rating, but now obviously a little bit more science to it, and yeah, it helps. And if you're weighing up the form to see the strength of opposition, you know, where they finish, that you can factor that in into prices and your selections as well.
Okay, no. Rightio, Steve, before we get your main selection, what type of players should be suited by this test? This is the event that used to be called the Greater Greensboro Open back in the day, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. I made it a 5.76 this week, but I can accept a 6. It's a Sedgefield Country Club, 7,127 yards, par 70, only 2 par 5s, 12 par 4s. Donald Ross design, famously designed East Lake, is most famous creation, but lots of US Tour venues designed by Donald Ross. It's hosted the Wyndham since 2008. And the winning scores are always incredibly low. 21, 16, 20, 18, 18, 14, 17, 17, 21, 22, 21. Always a birdie fest in the Wyndham. But very small undulating greens, plenty of runoff areas around the green. So you've got to scramble well. But yeah, whoever wins this week will have to go extremely low and have a hot flat stick all week.
Okay, and I'm looking through some of the past winners. I see Snedeker won it last year and was also third 2 years previously. Stenson won it as well. A few fairly short, sort of short hitters. It doesn't look like you need to be an absolute monster with the old chief in your hand, does it?
No, absolutely right. No, just find the fairways and then accurate approaches to the tiny greens and putt well. And there's one man that is so difficult to get away from. I mean, we always try and get the favourite beat, but I don't know how we can this week.
Okay, go on then. And that man is?
And that man is the world number 17, Webb Simpson, the highest ranked player in the field, a local man, North Carolina boy, knows the course extremely well. His maiden US Tour title came at Sedgefield in 2011. It's a cozy three-shot triumph. And that came after he finished 8th in 2010. And then since that victory in 2011, he has finished 5th, 6th, 3rd and 2nd in the Wyndham. So strongly threatening win number 2 in the Wyndham. He loves this event. He loves this event so much, he even named his second daughter Wyndham.
No way.
Yeah. Wyndham Simpson is one of Webb Simpson's 5 children. That was his second child. Now that really shows his affection for this event. Last year, he closed with a 62 to finish second behind Snedeker. And his 2019 form is just building up towards another massive performance. He's scrambling better than ever. We mentioned it last week. He was top of the scrambling stats going into last week. That's a key attribute around these tiny greens. And he's twice finished second recently. At the Canadian Open last month, he finished second to Rory McIlroy. Last week in the St. Jude Invitation, he finished second to Brooks Koepka. So he keeps getting beaten by the absolute elite, but there aren't any of the top dogs playing this week. He signed off with a 64 in Memphis on Sunday. Nobody scored better than him on Sunday. So it's just immaculate credentials for Simpson this week. And I was just praying at the start of the week, if you give me a double-figure price, I'll bite your hand off. And I just about got it. He opened up at 11-1, 10-1 available still. The icing on the cake was the par four scoring stats. He's third on the US Tour par four scoring performance stats. 12 par fours this week, two more than you get at standard layout. So, yeah, it's impossible to pick holes in the favourite. So we can play up our Kupka winnings on Webb Simpson.
Excellent. That's a very confident shout. Who's your main fancy, Glenn?
My main fantasy is going to be Patrick Reed. Going through the stats of previous winners, the two that stand out are obviously good putting stats and par three scoring, amazingly. So, but I've been looking for guys that will hit the fairway off the tee and obviously have a good week with a putter. So that's what I framed it around. Patrick Reed, I said, coming back to form, six-time tour winner, major champion, a real competitor, enjoys the heat of battle. Tucked away a major championship last year at Augusta, but out of sorts this season so far, partly due to the fact of him rebuilding his swing under the guidance of David Ledbetter. Despite only missing two cuts so far this year, most of his finishes have been quite lowly, but recently finished 32nd, 30th, 5th, 23rd, 10th at the Open, and 12th last week in the St. Jude. He's trending in the right direction. Four previous visits to Sedgefield, that's the country club, not the race course, have seen him finish 66th, 1st, 24th and 22nd, the win being his first on tour. Also second in the 2007 PGA Championship, Quail Hollow in North Carolina, so obviously gets on well in the area. He's hit more than two-thirds of fairways in his last eight starts, ranked 16th in greens in regulation and 2nd in scrambling last week at Southwind. Also, he's only ranked in the top 10 in putting twice all year. But as we all know, he's a much better putter than that. And if he gets a ball rolling this week, the Brash Texan can be a winner again.
Excellent. If someone held a gun to your head and said, name a golfer who's been to Sedgefield Racecourse, who would you say? You'd have to go Lee Westwood, wouldn't you?
He's from that neck of the woods, isn't he? Yeah, good shout.
It's quite possible no one ever has, but... If anyone has, I'd imagine Lee Westwood has. Okay, chaps, very strong shouts there. By the way, I need to quickly, Steve, can you clear something up for me? I was watching Sky's coverage last week, and on the final day, Wayne Riley, who I absolutely love, I think he's brilliant, I think he's the best thing about Sky's coverage, but he was doing his little things where, you know, they go, and now they're playing the 17th, and for an in-depth look at it, let's go and see Wayne Riley. He was dressed as Elvis. Why?
Yeah, they kept showing that, didn't they? All week they made a big deal about... I guess Elvis is from Memphis, isn't he? Elvis was born in Memphis.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not a new discovery, is it? It's just weird the way they dressed him
up as
Elvis.
No. That's the US Tour event in Memphis, and they made a big deal. Yeah, I mean, you had Patrick Reed's caddy was getting his photo taken with Wayne Riley and that. And I mean, I think, you know, there's a little bit of humour in the first showing of it on the Thursday, but when it was coming in every flipping day and you're just desperate to watch the golf, it did become a huge annoyance. Yeah,
well, this is the thing, because I was quite late to it and there was no explanation of it. So he was doing his normal thing. Look, you know, there's a massive runoff area here and don't go long there because you're dead. But he was dressed as Elvis and it just seemed very peculiar.
Yeah, they obviously gave up explaining it. I think they explained it on the Thursday and then thought everyone had watched it. But yeah. No, he's a good egg. I think it's just really hot in Memphis last week. I think they're all struggling a bit. He was looking a bit sweaty by the end of it. I think perhaps that was affecting his output.
Okay, I do like Wayne Riley. I think he's a top man. Right then, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4 other selections, and there could be a bit of echo going on because the second of them is the man that Glenn fancies, isn't it?
That's it, yeah. Patrick Reed's my next best. Great Sedgefield record and rounding nicely into form. What I will add to what Glenn said is last week, Reed got a very bad draw, first round playing with Kevin Kisner. I don't know if you're aware of the interview Kevin Kisner gave with Golf Digest magazine just before Christmas. He was ruthless in his assessment of Patrick Reed, said that everyone hates him. And
brilliant.
He actually went a step further. I don't know how crude we can be on the podcast, but he said no one would piddle on him if he was on fire. He really was.
Well, after your story with the poor girl in the cricket match, that's pretty tame by comparison, Steve. So yeah, that's fine.
You can imagine the atmosphere on the first tee when they have to shake hands, and he's just said that if you were on fire, I wouldn't piddle on you. So I think there's a real bit of tension in the first round of that WGC, and it affected both players. Kisner shot 77, Reed shot 73, but then Reed fought back lovely over the final three rounds, 66, 67, 68, and finished 12th. So, I think Glenn's right to go for Reedy. And then, because there's only one tournament this week, I'm going to have five against the field. A very strong staking plan this week, but we can afford it because obviously we're rolling in it from last week, and we've only got one tournament to attack this week. So the third selection is Brant Snedeker, who, like Simpson and Reed, made the Wyndham is maiden US Tour title. Snedeker won the Wyndham at Forest Oaks, which was a different Greensboro track, but he quickly took a shine to Sedgefield as well when it moved to Sedgefield. Fifth in 2009, eighth in 2010, fifth in 2014, third in 2016, and then won by three shots last year. So immaculate course credentials. He shot a 59, open with a 59 last year. He could easily complete Wyndham hat-trick this week, Snedeker. There's certain courses where he has multiple victories. He's won twice at Torrey Pines, twice at Pebble Beach. I think Sedgefield can be added to the list. He's also won at the Heritage in South Carolina, seems to like the Carolinas. And recent form, he was fourth in the Canadian Open last month, shot a second round 60. He was fifth in the Rocket Mortgage Classic on a Donald Ross design Detroit Golf Club. And he closed with a 66 in Memphis on Sunday. Only Simpson and Cook could beat Snedeker in Memphis on Sunday. So, I want big bets on Simpson, Reed and Snedeker. I know it's an expensive staking plan, but I think it's well worthwhile. Then I've got two more at much bigger prices. The Doc, big fans of the Doc on this podcast. Doc Redman, 2017 US Amateur Champion. He's only 21 years of age. He's finally found a way onto the US Tour. He Monday qualified for the Rocket Mortgage Classic a month ago and then finished second. So it banked a massive paycheck on a Donald Ross design. I know I keep banging on about that, but it is important, the similarities to with his courses. And then he made his Open debut and tied 20th on his Open debut. A phenomenally good performance at Portrush. So the Doc is in business. He's tackling a course this week that he knows much better than those other two. He's a North Carolina boy. He's born in the same city as Webb Simpson. Both rally boys. So he knows this course. So Doc Redman, huge price, opened 100-1. Still some juice out there. Russell Henley is the final one. I'm going to complete the staking plan with Russell Henley, a three-time US Tour champion. He seems to be rededicating himself to the game again. He became a father just before the Masters last year, took his eye off the ball. It looks focused again now. Fired a closing 61 for runner-up honours in the John Deere Classic the week prior to the Open. Then he followed up with 15th spot in the Barracuda Championship last week. Lives in South Carolina, short journey north. And I thought, interesting stat of this, despite missing 12 cuts this season and having a really, really poor campaign until recently, he is 36th in the par four scoring statistics. So he's been playing well on the par fours despite struggling on the other holes. So I think Sedgefield sets up lovely for Russell Henley.
Righty-ho. Going back to what you're saying about Kisner and Reed, it's quite a weird expression that, actually, isn't it? Because if you were on fire, would you actually want someone to piddle on you? Or would you want them to, like, take slightly more proactive kind of action with that?
Yeah, they're not gonna, it depends how big the fire is, isn't it? If it was a small, like an ankle on fire, you might
like
be
your sock
to, yeah, if it had just a bit of kindling just started, then you probably could put it out with some piddle.
But I've never actually read a story about someone extinguishing a fire on someone using the contents of their bladder. Anyway,
you'd rather they dial 999 and get a professional on the job, wouldn't you?
Yeah, what, Reed's not popular, is he, Steve? I mean, Kisner wouldn't be the only one who thinks that, would he?
No. It's strange, isn't it? Because when he goes into team events, he seems to excel in team events. He's Captain America. He's been brilliant in the Ryder Cups. But he does so while everyone around him on his team hates him. I mean, it started off in his college days. He had a bad reputation in his college days. Got a little bit of a reputation for being a cheat. We don't want to go along that path again.
He doesn't care, though, does he? He does not care.
No. He's absolutely ruthless. I mean, the fact he doesn't speak to his parents, you know, he turned his back on his parents from a very young age, didn't he? He just seemed very single-minded. He's a good dad, to be fair. He seems to dote on his children and in his wife. He plays a lot of golf, doesn't he? I mean, he is a very determined character. And we don't know what went on with his parents, so we mustn't get too judgmental.
Absolutely not. Okay, Glenn, as well as the aforementioned Mr. Reed, who else are you putting up?
Well, actually, you look like you got a bit bored during it, Bruce. You may do. I'm putting seven others up this week. I didn't want the list and I couldn't reduce it, so I'll keep it brief.
Are you really putting seven others up?
I am indeed. Some big prices in there, so
I hope so.
If you get one in a frame at a decent price, you'll make a profit, and if you find a winner,
spin through them.
Rory Sabatini, since changing citizenship to be a Slovakian this year, the age of 43 has found an amazing level of consistency. After missing his first two cuts this year, his next 15 starts, so he finished in the top 40 in all but two, and 5 top 10s. His form through April, May and June was 10th, 3rd, 18th, 5th, 6th, 27th, 43rd and 3rd. After missing the cut at the 3M Open, he bounced back with an excellent 16th place finish at the Open. He's played at Wyndham 4 times previously, missed cut in 2012, 8th in 2013, 4th in 2017 and 57th last year. Decent enough stats. 4 times ranked in top 10 in driving accuracy in his last 6 starts, and 3 times in top 10 in putts for green in regulation this year. All these professional wins have
Hang
come
on, if there's 7 of these, mate, I'm going to die of natural causes by the time we get to the end.
I'll keep you even briefer. All these professional wins have come on the PGA Tour, mate. Never won anywhere else. Hasn't won for 7 years, but stats say that he could put up a good show this week. Number 3, Sepp Straka, a big hitting Austrian. It's not necessarily needed here, the length, but if you can get it down there and keep it straight, which he invariably does, he'll be hitting wedges into most of his greens, and his putting stats are decent as well. Number 4, Cameron Smith, another youngster, yet to win an individual event on the PGA Tour, dual winner of the Australian PGA Championship 2017 and 18. About this time last year, he started improving his form, and he's doing the same again this year. 29th, 20th and 12th in his last 3 starts. He's been 18th and 7th here. Another one, if he gets the flapstick going, could have a decent week. Doc Redmond, Steve mentioned him already. My real fly in the ointment one for this week is a guy called Sebastian Munoz. A bit like Charlie Danielson last week, he's played here, there and everywhere. Latino, American Tour, the Corn Ferry Tour, infrequent visits to the PGA Tour, 3rd in the Greenbrier a few years ago, but couldn't follow that up and lost his card. This season, though, it looks like he's starting to find his feet on the tour. Recent finishes of 10th, 7th, 11th, couple of missed cuts, 72nd, 37th, 9th and 11th. So it's a bit of a shot in the dark. He's decent off the tee. All his stats need to be improved a fraction, but 150-1 out there, I think he's worth a small interest to be the second Colombian to win the Wyndham. I'll leave that one with you. Victor Hovland, I couldn't leave him out. After Morikawa's win last week, another young lad that we've mentioned quite a few times on here. Turned pro after US Open. He's finished 54th in the Travelers, 13th in the Rocket Mortgage, 13th in the 3M Open, and 16th in the John Deere Classic. A really good run of form. Would have gone close in the John Deere Classic if his putter had been a bit hotter on the Saturday. Didn't hold a thing. 8 birdies and an eagle in the final round. I thought he must have been rolling in. I've checked that out. He had 2 putts over 10 feet, and they were both less than 15 feet. So it just shows you how good his iron play was. So he's a player that's certain to win soon. 28-1 available this week. Had to stick him in. And the final one, another real stab in the dark, Austin Cook. Real sketchy form this year, but 4th last time out in the Barbasol. He's got good driving accuracy stats, really good putting stats. As long as he can keep his form going, he could reward each way punters as well at 150-1.
That's it, just the 8 tips, yeah?
Just the 8.
Is it Jonathan Vega, the other Colombian?
No, he's Venezuelan.
Is
Steve,
right?
Do you know the other one? Does Steve know the other guy?
Steve?
Sorry. what's the question?
Who's the other Colombian to have won? Who's the only Colombian to have won this tournament?
Oh, blimey, that's a good question. No, I don't know. You know the answer, do you?
Well, hopefully Glenn does.
Oh, Glenn knows.
Only 5 years ago, Camilo Villegas.
Oh, of course. Where's he now?
Yeah, forgot about him. He's gone. He's probably a male model or something now. He lost his golf game. He's a very handsome lad. He's probably making a bit of money elsewhere.
Steve, what did you do while Glenn was rattling through all those selections? You go and have a look at the sandwich or lie down, maybe? Or
had a few birthday parties. I'm 45 now.
Yeah, it was good. No, excellent, right? Well, there's plenty to get stuck into there. Just the 13 selections between them for that tournament. Okay, are we all done with that one, Steve? Anything else on the Wyndham you want to talk about?
I guess we're all done. I mean, I suppose we better talk about Victor Hovland, don't we? Because obviously we've had Colin Morikawa and Matt Wolf have both won. You know, this fresh crop of young talent has come on. Victor Hovland was supposed to be the best of the bunch. He's now seen his buddies do the business and get off the mark. So Hovland under a bit of pressure now to join them.
What's the situation? What's the situation with Matsuyama? Because he's becoming, you know, he's always there or thereabouts in terms of the betting, but never in terms of the outcome. I mean,
yeah.
Is he going to pop up and annoy everyone just as they've lost patience with him, or is he just one of these flatterers who just never quite get the job done?
Yeah. I mean, I've lost patience with him. I'm one of those people. I mean, he'll just churn out fairways and greens. He'll probably have one really low round where the putter behaves, but over 72 holes, that he haven't got that putting consistency over 72 holes to get the job done. So yeah, I'd want Hideki on tougher tracks. You know, this is too easy. You need a hot flat stick, and he very rarely has one.
Okay, there's no men's European tournament this week, but there is the Women's British Open at beautiful Woburn. And Glenn, spin through a few of the front runners there for us.
Yeah, thanks for that, Bruce. 9-1 Aria Jutanugan, 9-1 Jin Young Ko, 12-1 Hyoju Kim, 16-1 Shen Shen Feng, 16-1 Sung Hyun Park, 18-1 Imbi Park, 22-1 Brooke Henderson, Lexi Thompson, and Sai Young Kim. And 25-1 is Jung Eun Lee 6.
Are either of you putting up a selection here, Steve?
No, I do not have sufficient knowledge on ladies' golf to put up a worthwhile selection.
Glenn, are you in that boat as well?
I could put one up, because I watched a bit of the AVN last week, and a young lady that I saw actually a couple of weeks ago as well, third in, Hyoju Kim, really good putter. Obviously, the ladies don't hit it very far generally, but she really gets it done on the green, so in the hope that she can do that again. She was unlucky last week, had a 6 on a par 3 late on when her ball got plugged. As long as that's left no mark, I think she'll obviously go well again.
Okay, if you buy today's Racing Post, not only will you get Steve's full preview of the Wyndham, you get Jeremy Chapman's top tips for the British Women's British Open. I can tell you his main selection is Jin Young Ko. And there's also a fantastic preview of the Ashes from James Milton. So loads in there. A Wednesday Racing Post is an absolute must. Right then, let's do the solemn recap of the selections in case you didn't manage to write all 13 of them down for the Wyndham Championship. Steve Palmer.
Webb Simpson, Patrick Reed, Brant Snedeker, Doc Redman, Russell Henley.
And Glenn, get the scattergun out. Away you go.
Patrick Reed, Rory Sabatini, Sepp Straka, Cameron Smith, Doc Redman, Sebastian Munoz, Victor Hovland and Austin Cook.
Okay, 8 is a record. I'm not even sure. Is that actually allowed, Steve, 8 selections?
Oh, well, as I'm president, I'm sorry. I didn't realise you mentioned Victor Hovland. I wouldn't have brought him up. Yeah, he was in there. Was he sorry?
He was,
sorry.
Yeah. They were all in there pretty much. I don't think he mentioned too much about JJ Spawn, but apart from that, I think the whole field got a mention. But listen, Glenn, if one of them wins, you're in business, aren't you? That's the whole name of the game with golf betting, isn't it?
Indeed, yeah. I mean, they generally start with a long list, whittle it down, but for one reason or another, I couldn't miss. I thought they all had something to give them a squeak. So plenty of big prices in there.
Indeed. Have either of you been getting excited about the football season? We had the big kickoff pullout out on Monday, which is fantastic. I always get stuck into a few football bets. Do you get involved there, Steve, or are you so dedicated to it now it's just golf only?
Yeah, very disciplined punter these days. It has been golf only for a long time. I didn't even have a bet on the World Match Play darts last week. I had a look at the draw, didn't really fancy anyone, so I didn't force a bet. So, I am being a very disciplined golf punter at the moment. Don't the citizens tend to ruin the Premier League betting these days, don't they? The citizens are just dominant. Do you think the citizens are going to win again?
Probably, yeah, but I don't know. Glenn, what about you? Do you get involved in the old football betting?
No, not at all. It's funny you should mention the citizens. It's all very boring football.
Oh, it's your team, isn't it? You're a Man City fan, aren't you?
Yeah, they just win all the domestic competitions, don't they?
Okie dokes. Excellent stuff. Right then, what have we got next week? The Northern Trust. There's no European Tour event next week. Is the European Tour all right, Steve? Here we are in the height of summer and there's no tournaments.
Don't you worry, old son. The European Tour will be centre of attention very soon. Once we get this silly FedEx Cup out the way, there's a real run of brilliant European Tour events.
Oh, yeah, have they sort of rescheduled it to take advantage of the fact that America is very much front-loaded towards the start of the year now? Is that the intention?
Very much so, John, very much so. You've still got your Wentworth trip to come. You know, there's lots of lovely tour, French Open still to come. There's loads of great European Tour golf. It's a new schedule this year, and once the American season finishes, then the European Tour really comes into its own.
Excellent stuff. Righty, what are you doing between now and next Wednesday when we reconvene, Glenn? Anything exciting? You going to dust off the clubs?
No, I did that a couple of weeks ago, didn't I? Funny enough, started off all right. Driving was really good, but the old fitness came into play on the back nine, so I faded 26 points. I'm working too late this weekend again, so I probably won't even see that too much golf, unfortunately. Starts tonight. Hopefully a win there.
Good stuff. And Steve, what's on your agenda?
Did Glenn say cards tonight?
No, darts.
Oh, darts. Oh, right. I thought it was a poker man. Yeah, I'd like to play a bit of golf. I played golf for the first time in a few months ago, then shot 77.
Well played.
I've got a real taste for it again. Yeah, I want to get back out on the links.
Are you allowed out again after the baby was born?
Yeah. No. Now the majors are over, and I've got to, get my Fridays off, and I like to play golf on a Friday if possible. No, the wife's been very good, to be fair. Yeah,
brilliant, good stuff. Okay, chaps, thank you very much indeed. What else have we got coming up? We've got Goodwood and Galway all week, and we've got football postcards coming up as well, and then golf next Wednesday. So hopefully you can join us for that.
Give them the horn.